and, you know, told them that they were going to throw away the key since they couldn't execute them. So it was intended to be a extra punitive sentence that was not, you know, given to them by a judge or through any lawful process, but by these prison officials at Angola Prison. And for the next, you know, in Albert's case, 44 years, nearly 44 years, they were not only fighting to clear their name and overturn their convictions, but also fighting against these unconstitutional conditions that they were in of 23 hours a day in isolation for basically the duration of their life sentences is what the prison officials of Angola Prison were seeking.
We only have 30 seconds, but if you can say how you finally got him out.
Oh, well, it certainly wasn't me alone. There was a legion of lawyers, paralegals, experts, and then people all across the world and in communities near and far who supported these efforts of rolling boulders up mountains to get Mr. Woodfox out in 2016. And, you know, since we're limited on time, I'll just say, Amy, I'm so glad that you played the clip of Albert talking about, you know, if a cause is noble, a man can carry the weight of the world on his shoulders with his passing.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I thank you so much, Corrine Williams and Michael Mabel and Robert King. We will all remember Albert Woodfox. I'm Amy Goodman.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
The Mono Village Jazz Festival, now in its ninth year, happens Friday, August 19th through Sunday, August 21st. Montevilla Jazz supports community building and enriches local culture by showcasing original music made right here in Portland. More festival information can be found at montevillajazz.org.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bag and Baggage Productions presents The Tempest, performing from Thursday, August 11th through Sunday, August 28th in Hillsboro. This bilingual adaptation of William Shakespeare's The Tempest will be performed throughout various parks in Hillsboro. The Tempest is a story of love, redemption, forgiveness, and the nature of storytelling. That's Bag and Baggage Production presents The Tempest, performing from Thursday, August 11th through Sunday, August 28th in Hillsboro. More information can be found at kb.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland police make an arrest for the 2019 murder of a leftist activist. U.S. unemployment rate plummets. And in international news, China reacts to Speaker Pelosi's Taiwan visit by halting talks with the United States. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 5th. 2022. I'm Josh Salem. 3 years after the death of a local Portland anti-fascist, Portland police announced yesterday they have made an arrest in a 2019 murder. Christopher Knipe, 47, was arrested and charged with second-degree murder in the death of Sean Kelleher. The case drew significant national attention because local activists had expressed concern the police were not actively trying to find those involved in the killing. Knipe had originally been identified on social media as a potential suspect by Kelleher's mother, Laura. After the arrest was announced, she told OPB she was in shock. She expressed concern about her son's reputation being called into question at trial. She said the arrest didn't do much to restore her confidence in the police, adding, quote, "At least they did something. It's better than nothing, I guess," end quote. Sean Kelleher was hit by an SUV in October 2019 while leaving Cider Riot, a bar that was popular with leftist activists. When he and two companions left the bar, a group of men started a verbal altercation. The altercation seemed to have resolved before an SUV raced up the street and ran over Kelleher, subsequently crashing into a nearby building. The people driving the SUV fled the scene. Another person drove Kelleher to a local hospital that night, where he died. Kelleher was a well-known Portland anti-fascist, going by the alias Arminio Lewis. Friends and family told OPB he was highly dedicated to anti-fascist and racial justice causes since he was a teenager. Family and friends of Kelleher had insisted for years that Knipe was involved in the murder and that it was his SUV that ran over the victim. In 2021, Portland police denied a public records request seeking the release of a stolen vehicle report filed by Knipe the day after Kelleher was killed. The Portland Police Bureau has frequently cited a lack of cooperating witnesses as a reason arrests were not made previously, despite police possessing the SUV involved. It was not immediately clear whether Portland police had obtained any new evidence in the case that led to Knipe's arrest. Police have not made any other arrests, though another man was allegedly with Knipe the night of the murder. They said yesterday they do not believe the killing was politically motivated. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones will pay nearly $50 million in damages to the parents of a six-year-old boy killed in the Sandy Hook shooting for perpetrating lies about it. Jesse Lewis was among the 20 children and six educators who were killed in a 2012 attack in Newton, Connecticut. This was significantly less than the $150 million being sought, but it marks the first time the InfoWars host has been held financially liable for claiming the deadliest school shooting in U.S. history was a hoax. The parents wanted compensation for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Yesterday, a Texas jury awarded the Sandy Hook family about $4 million in compensatory damages, and today that was made even larger with a $45 million price tag for punitive damages. Jones' attorney asked to limit damages to $8, $1 for each of the compensation charges they considered. In total, Jones will pay $49.3 million to the family. Jones had claimed the attack was staged in the interest of increasing gun control. This probably won't be the last judgment against him, either. A Connecticut judge has ruled against him in a similar lawsuit brought by other victims' families and an FBI agent who worked on the case. And he faces another trial in Austin. On his show, Jones has portrayed the lawsuit as an attack on his First Amendment rights, though he conceded during the trial the attack was 100% real. He said, quote, "I admitted I was wrong. I admitted it was a mistake. I admitted that I followed disinformation, but not on purpose. I apologized to the families, and the jury understood that. What I did to those families was wrong, but I didn't do it on purpose," end quote. The total amount awarded in this case raises questions about the ability of his website, InfoWars, which has been banned from YouTube, Spotify, and Twitter for hate speech, to continue operating. The parents testified Tuesday about how they've endured a decade of trauma, first because of the murder, but after because of what followed: gunshots fired at a home, online and phone threats, and harassment on the street by strangers. They said the threats and harassment were fueled by Jones and his conspiracy theory spread to his followers via his website. A forensic psychiatrist testified that the parents suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder similar to what might be experienced by a soldier at war. Jones' media company, Free Speech Systems, which is InfoWars' parent company, filed for bankruptcy during the two-week trial. Jones was not in the courtroom when the ruling was handed down. Residents of Northwest Washington want to create an immigrant resource center to better serve immigrant farm worker communities. KBOO's John Cooper has the story.
Folks in Northwest Washington are holding a vigil for an immigrant farm worker who died 5 years ago. They're also calling for a resource center that could help other residents. Onis da Silva Ibarra died in 2017 while working in triple-digit heat. The vigil is at Bellingham City Hall today. Tara Villalba lives in the community and is a member of the Immigration Advisory Board, which is asking the city to fund an immigrant resource center. She says it's important to have a place where people can use their first language and also build up community in their new homes.
Access to resources is so full of barriers, especially for new immigrants. When English is not your first language, when you don't know where you're going to need to go to get a driver's license, how are you going to register to vote? People who have lived here a long time, that knowledge they take for granted.
1 in 10 residents of Whatcom County was born outside the U.S., or about 24,000 people. But only about half are naturalized citizens, according to the Immigration Resource Center proposal to the city of Bellingham. A state investigation of Ibarra's death found the farm where he worked violated requirements for regular breaks. Lalo Juarez is also a member of the Immigration Advisory Board and a local berry picker. He sees Ibarra as a victim of climate change, which disproportionately affects farm laborers who work outdoors. He believes a resource center could be a place where people come with concerns about their working conditions.
If a company is not following the rules to keep all the workers safe, they can come in and tell us, and we can go and see what we can do. We really need this.
On June 1st, the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries put temporary rules in place that provide increased protections for farm workers when temperatures are at or above 89 degrees. To support the campaign for a resource center, people in Whatcom County are folding 10,000 origami butterflies. The campaign is called Migration Makes Us Stronger, and Villalba says butterflies signify that migration is natural. This weekend is also the 77th Hiroshima bombing anniversary. Villalba says the idea to fold butterflies came from descendants of Japanese Americans interned during World War II. In recent years, those families have folded cranes for immigrant families separated and detained at the southern border.
They said that as a Japanese American community, they cannot allow for this to happen again. And I thought, as an immigrant, that was super powerful.
For KBOO News and the Public News Service, I'm John Cooper.
Republicans push back on the climate tax bill. The United States declares monkeypox is a public health emergency. And the Pentagon closely watches Chinese military drills. With more on these stories, it's Mary Sherman with 2022 Talks.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The proposal produces no meaningful reduction in the deficit or with inflation. Any suggestion otherwise is insulting to the intelligence of the American people.
Deb Fisher of Nebraska and other Republicans are pushing back against a $739 billion climate tax and health care package. The Congressional Budget Office acknowledged the bill's immediate effect on inflation would be negligible, but would decrease the deficit by roughly $300 billion. Democrat Ed Markey of Massachusetts called it the most significant investment in climate action in history.
This bill will not correct every economic injustice in our society or rectify the economic disparities between big oil billionaires and working families, but it starts a process that we absolutely need to level the playing field.
Democrats want to use the reconciliation process by passing a filibuster. The chamber is delaying its August recess to work on the measure into the weekend. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra officially declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency 2 weeks after the World Health Organization did the same.
We're prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus, and we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously.
Amid increased tensions with China over Taiwan, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says a planned intercontinental ballistic missile test launch has been delayed.
The lines of communication are still open with Beijing, and we're using those lines of communication.
The Pentagon also directed an aircraft carrier to remain in the area near Taiwan to keep an eye on recent test missile launches by China. Meanwhile, FBI Director Christopher Wray says the nation is facing many criminal and national security threats.
Whether it's gangs terrorizing a neighborhood, well-known trigger pullers who keep finding their way back out onto the streets, robbery crews graduating from carjackings to aggravated assaults, and worse, the violent crime problem is real.
During the oversight hearing, Senator Ted Cruz slammed his boot on the table as he questioned Ray about an alleged FBI list of symbols affiliated with extremist groups.
Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck is the Gonzales battle flag. come and take it, as indicative of being a violent extremist militia. Well, I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Ray, what are y'all doing?
Ray said he was not familiar with the document. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is making waves for suspending a state attorney general who pledged to not prosecute people under the state's new 15-week abortion ban.
When you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty. You have neglected your duty.
DeSantis also condemned Andrew Warren for his support of gender-affirming treatment for trans minors. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, your look behind the headlines with fairness and accuracy in reporting. At 6, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be clear with a low of 58. Tomorrow's weather will be sunny with a high of 94. Today in history, in 1620, the Mayflower departs from Southampton, England, on its first attempt to reach North America. It was forced to dock in Dartmouth when his companion ship, the Speedwell, sprang a leak. The quote of the day is from Dennis Bank, celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. Bank said, "Since the beginning, Native peoples lived a life of being in harmony with all that surrounds us. It is a belief that all humankind are related to each other. Each has a purpose, spirit, and sacredness." Says it is stopping all dialogue with the United States on major issues, including climate cooperation. A November 2014 joint U.S.-China deal to fight climate change likely led to the breakthrough Paris Agreement, in which most nations worldwide pledged to try to curb emissions of heat-trapping gases. The announcement comes in protest after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. China allegedly intends to punish the U.S. for allowing the visit to the island it claims as its own territory. China's declaration adds to its response, which included military exercises off Taiwan. Its foreign ministry said dialogue between U.S. and Chinese regional commanders and Defense Department heads would be canceled, along with talks on military maritime safety. In addition, cooperation on returning illegal immigrants, criminal investigations, transnational crime, and illegal drugs will be suspended, according to the Chinese ministry. The ministry said the actions were taken because Pelosi visited Taiwan, quote, "in disregard of China's strong opposition and serious representations," end quote. The Biden administration has condemned China's military maneuvers as irresponsible. China has accused the administration of an attack on Chinese sovereignty, although Pelosi is head of the legislative branch of government and Biden had no authority to prevent her visit. China's actions come in advance of a key Congress of the ruling Communist Party later this year. President Xi Jinping is expected to obtain a third five-year term as party leader. The Communist Party has played up nationalism and issued near-daily attacks on the Taiwanese government, which refuses to recognize Taiwan as part of China. In fact, China's insistence that Taiwan is part of its territory and its threat to use force to reclaim control has been mentioned over decades in multiple ruling Communist Party statements. Dialogue between China and the U.S. has already been modest at best. However, climate change and fighting illegal drugs were previous areas where they had found common cause. Beijing's lack of cooperation is felt to have significant negative implications for efforts to achieve further progress in those areas. While visiting Japan, Pelosi said China cannot stop U.S. officials from visiting Taiwan. Taiwan residents overwhelmingly favor maintaining the status quo of de facto independence and reject China's demands that the island unify with the mainland under communist control. The White House has summoned China's ambassador to protest what it called China's irresponsible actions since her trip. The U.S. added 528,000 jobs last month, restoring all the jobs lost in the coronavirus pandemic. That's despite serious inflation and major concerns about America's economic health. Unemployment fell to 3.5%, the lowest figures seen since the pandemic started in early 2020. July's job creation was 130,000 positions greater than those produced in June, and the most since February 2022. Experts still worry the U.S. economy is losing momentum. It shrank in the first two quarters of 2022, which meets an informal definition of recession. However, most economists believe the strong jobs market has kept the economy from slipping into a major downturn. Meanwhile, the debate over whether or not America is in a recession continues. Brian Colton, chief economist at Fitch Ratings, said, quote, "Recession? What recession? The U.S. economy is creating new jobs at an annual rate of 6 million. That's three times faster than what we normally see historically in a good year," end quote. President Biden took credit for the labor market today, saying, quote, "It's the result of my economic plan," end quote. The president has increased job growth through his coronavirus relief package and $1 billion bipartisan infrastructure law last year. However, Republican lawmakers and some economists argue that government spending is the reason for current inflation levels, which haven't been this high for four decades. Hourly earnings improved by 0.5% last month and are up 5.2% over the past year. That's not enough to keep up with inflation, however. It's likely the Federal Reserve will continue raising interest rates to cool the economy. Stocks still decline, on the expectation that the Fed will continue aggressive rate hikes, which is a particular threat to technology companies. Treasury yields improved markedly. Charlie Ripley, senior investment strategist at Alliance Investment, said, quote, "The strength of the labor market in the face of rate tightening from the Fed already this year clearly shows that the Fed has more work to do. Overall, today's report should put the notion of a near-term recession on the back burner for now," end quote. Before today's hiring report, the labor market had shown other signs of unevenness. The Labor Department reported earlier this week that employers posted 10.7 million job openings in June, the lowest number since September. And the four-week average number of Americans signing up for unemployment benefits rose last week to its highest level since November. Parade-goers at an intertribe ceremonial in New Mexico were terrorized by an SUV that tore through the crowd. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A celebratory event turned terrifying for parade goers at the Gallup Intertribal Ceremonial on Thursday night in New Mexico. A vehicle drove through the night parade in downtown Gallup, causing people to rush to find safety. Videos posted across social media show people watching traditional dances moments before a SUV plowed down the street. Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez was walking in the parade. In a live video message after the incident, Nez says they were in direct path of the vehicle, but were able to quickly get out of the way. Nez says his family, team members, and others who were with him were not physically hurt.
You know, this is just evil creeping into our communities. You know, we're all shooken up, and it just... I was feet away from this vehicle as it drove through the streets. And I'm sure a lot of people are angry, a lot of emotions happening right now. I'm angry, but we also have to, you know, pray and think about our relatives.
Nez urged people to check on family and friends attending the parade, and for those who need support, to call the 988 Resource Helpline or the Navajo Mental Health Department. According to New Mexico State Police, the driver is in custody. Multiple people were injured, including two police officers. Police are continuing to investigate the incident. The night parade is a fan favorite of the annual ceremonial, which attracts locals and international guests to the reservation border town. Native American NASA astronaut Nicole Mann is part of the crew preparing to launch a U.S. commercial spacecraft to the International Space Station by the end of September. This will be Mann's first space flight since becoming an astronaut in 2013. Mann is a SpaceX Crew 5 spacecraft commander.
So I will fly myself and three other crewmates. We will launch from Kennedy Space Center in a Dragon spacecraft, which is built by SpaceX. And we will take a day or so to get to the International Space Station, and we'll stay on board for about 6 months to execute our mission. Our spacecraft will stay attached that entire time. Then at the end of the mission, we'll come back home, and we'll splash down off the coast of Florida.
The team will conduct more than 200 scientific experiments during the mission.
Some of those are technology demonstration to help us in further human exploration. A lot of them are scientific investigations and research to benefit humans back on Earth, though. So because the space station is in microgravity, there's a lot of things that we can do that you simply can't do on Earth.
Man, Round Valley Indian Tribes is proud to represent Native people.
I think your background and your heritage is an important part of who you are and your family and the community that brought you up. And so I think it's important also then to share with our communities what the amazing things that all of the people that, you know, that we grew up with are executing and what they're doing. And so hopefully there's some young Native kids that are looking and see what amazing things, what amazing opportunities that they have in front of them. And I mean, a lot of those barriers that used to exist are really being broken down.
Man will be responsible for all phases of the flight from launch to reentry. The public can follow the SpaceX Crew 5 mission at NASA.gov. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Debates erupt over how to regulate renewable energy sources. KBOO's Grant Button has more.
Iowa is seen as a leader in renewable energy for sources like wind power, but tension is building in how to site these projects. A new guide aims to give local officials a better grasp of proposals that come their way. The rapid growth of wind and solar has led to policy debates at the state level on whether to add regulations, as some landowners and farm groups fight certain plans. The Center for Rural Affairs touts its new guide as an alternative to state-level decision-making. The center's Lindsay Mao says it informs local leaders on project elements they may not be familiar with, as they balance the needs of surrounding areas they do not know a lot about.
Local decision-makers know the community and geography best and are best equipped to make those decisions and listen to the concerns of their community members.
She says providing more clarity is crucial as utilities, municipalities, and other entities lay out clean energy goals and look to build more grid capacity for renewables. With more policy debates expected at the state capitol, the center hopes its voluntary guide gets a strong look and is widely shared. Local governments in Iowa have long had the final say on these projects. Mao says a similar effort in Indiana allows counties to be designated as primary development spots, if they so choose. She says adapting a sitting matrix in Iowa could help keep local control and open the door to broader engagement with the public.
Community members are well aware of what a developer is required to meet or consider, and they will know that their local decision makers are equipped with all of the information needed to make those decisions responsibly.
She says a sitting tool already used for livestock projects in Iowa and Nebraska can also help dispel information about renewable energy development. Over the years, local opponents have raised concerns ranging from the loss of farmland to noise generated by wind turbines. While it waits on the state to consider sharing this guide with counties across Iowa, the center says local governments are free to use it as a template. For KBOO News, I'm Grant Button.
Whiskey waste can be used to feed animals and fuel cars. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz tells us more about this intriguing concept with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Scotland exports about 1.3 billion bottles of whiskey each year. And for every bottle that leaves the country, a lot of leftover barley and yeasty liquid known as pot ale remains.
Only 10% of what you put in the front end of the distillery actually ends up as whiskey maturing in a barrel afterwards. So these other two dominant residues, the barley and the pot ale, need to be disposed of.
But Martin Tangney does not think of those industry byproducts as garbage.
One man's waste is another man's gold.
Tangney is the president and founder of Celtic Renewables. The company uses a fermentation process to convert the byproducts of whiskey production into animal feed and several biochemical products, including butanol, that can be used to fuel cars.
You don't need to modify the engines. You can blend it at any concentration you like. And so it really is a potentially here and now replacement for fossil fuels.
Tangney's company is building a production plant in Scotland that will process material from local distilleries, so it will reduce waste from the whiskey industry while providing an alternative to fossil fuels. and it will give whiskey lovers another reason to raise a glass. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 5th, 2022. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-245-2158. Our remote production team for tonight's newscast includes John Cooper and Grant Button. The producer is myself, Josh Salem, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Mary Sherman and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of the Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support your local community radio station, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Counterspin.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines.